You're created in a certain way that makes you receptive to these things. And others are made in such a way that they are not receptive to these things. You know, the receptive nature is not set in stone, as far as we can tell. From God's perspective, everything is set. But from our perspective, let's say, see, this is the problem with man. Man is fatalistic. He doesn't understand predestination. And so he begins to think of everything predestinated from the standpoint of how things are is the way they're going to be. That's not predestination. That's fatalism. What it's saying is, well, he doesn't hear the word now, and he never will, because that's his destiny. Like, say I preach the gospel to someone, and they say, no, I don't want to be delivered from my sins. I love my sins. And I were to go and say, well, that's him. That's how he's going to be. That's how he's always going to be. I don't know that. I don't know that that's his destiny. Maybe he was just supposed to hear it this time. And then maybe down the road, God's going to touch that person's life and turn them. And then what I planted in them will take root. I don't know. And it's the same error. Whenever I talk about predestination to people, or many people, not every time, but, you know, there's this bad attitude I get, and also this attempt to try to suddenly have God's knowledge. Okay, if predestination is true, then I shouldn't try to do anything. I shouldn't try to change my life. I shouldn't, because this is all destiny. And it's a false presumption that the way things are the way they're going to be. I want to lay that groundwork, because lest you think just because someone doesn't receive your word that that's it. These are facts from God's perspective that are true. And we can observe the way they work. But we don't know the end of a particular person. It's a sower about seed. What happens with the word when it goes to people? Sometimes it falls by the wayside. And the wayside, what does that represent? Because Jesus doesn't go into the full depth of understanding of the parable. It represents a path, right? A place where many men's feet have trodden and is accessible to birds. Their eye can readily spy a lonely seed sitting in that barren landscape. What can grow on a well-trodden path? Nothing. As soon as the seed falls there, the devil comes, in represented by the birds, and takes it away. The birds, though they are the devil, in reality, they are learned men, wise men, preachers, teachers, men of God, so-called, prophets, so-called. The word of God is sown in the heart of someone who is deeply involved or deeply committed to a denomination or some religious order. And what happens is, the seed doesn't have a prayer of a chance of penetrating their heart, because it's in Satan's domain. Satan's dominion, the path, where he comes and he just steals it right away. Oh, no. And you're, oh, of course not. The path represents the stark landscape of tradition, the stark landscape of denominations, and the stark landscape of religious authorities. It is an extremely difficult place for anything to grow. And whatsoever is given to that nature is not going to receive the word of God. If one was to, now let's use an example. Let's say the Apostle Paul. Now he would be a path type person. He was on a path. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he was a Jew of the Jews, as he said. You know, he was very zealous of the traditions of his fathers. He makes an excellent example of the path. When Stephen spake by the Holy Ghost in front of the assembly that was about to stone him, Paul was sitting there holding their coats, consenting to his stoning. And the words of Stephen did not penetrate his heart in the least. In fact, subsequent to that, he sought out letters that he could go pursue believers in other cities to bring them back to Jerusalem to be tried, to place them in chains. Absolutely unreceptive. But that wasn't a permanent state. Christ struck him down on the road to Damascus And at that moment, he knocked him off his path. It was such a shocking episode that he changed. And that can happen. And that's why, though these things are fairly set, meaning you could go to the same person and keep preaching to them and see and observe the same results over and over again. But sometimes something shocking can happen in their life, or a change of heart, and something can change the condition of their heart. And that's what it is. It's when our heart condition changes. The soil of our heart is changed within us. And so we can become more receptive. So don't think of these things as set in stone, but they are ways in which people receive God's word. And the effects are always the same. Meaning that when someone is like a path, when they are like a rock, when they are like thorny ground, you know, when they are among thorns, is what I should say, and when they are good soil, that the word of God always has the same effect on them. It's always going to yield the same results. So when it falls upon a rock, now you might think, well, a rock is even harder than a path. Well, in the other Gospels, he talks about stony ground. And what I'm quite sure Jesus has reference to is, imagine, and if you know anything about agriculture, you'll understand what I'm saying. Imagine a place of very thin topsoil, where the rock has maybe, you know, a quarter inch of topsoil on it. Well, let's imagine a rock. Just imagine, I was thinking of like bedrock with a little soil on it, and that'll work. But imagine a rock with a pit in it, and a little bit of soil in that pit. And the seed falls in that little pit. And now what happens? Well, the plant can grow there. There's a little spot there where it can grow. And so it grows. But as soon as the sun comes out, there's not enough depth there to protect the root from the heat and from the evaporation, and all the moisture in that little bowl of soil is sucked away. And the plant withers and dies. So it is with men. This is a picture of some people who receive God's word with joy. These are the here today, gone tomorrow believers. These are the frightening thing about this one is that the gospel preached by the majority of evangelical churches encourages people to make their hearts hard like this. To receive the gospel in a legalistic sense whereby the initial bloom is all that is necessary. All that is necessary is an initial bloom. Fruit is completely optional. Because, and they say, well, no, you should, and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? In your absolute, if I were to push them to an absolute, we're like, well, are they saved? They'll say, yes, they are.